I do believe it is time for Praise This with Tim Luke. Greg has the day off because he has a migraine. Of course, Praise This, TQAG, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. You'll find them on the web, tqag.com. But hopefully right here is Tim Luke. Good morning, Tim. Are you there, Tim?
Good morning. Yep, good morning. How are you?
Good. It's been quite a trying to reach you.
Yeah, well, we're in the mountains. You know, we're in West Virginia.
Oh, there it is. That's what it is. Okay.
So we're in a cabin, and I am here. I have two of the students in the class that I am teaching here, two women from Texas who are appraisers that I thought, oh, they would wonderful to join. It's Lynn and Carol are joining in, and they were in the class, and we started yesterday. We started in the Glass Museum. And Lynn, do you want to tell us a little bit about what we did in the Glass Museum?
It was an excellent opportunity to explore, touch, and educate ourselves on glass that was made in this region from the late 1800s, and the gorgeousness and differences between the companies and what they produced for the tableware that was shipped all across America at that time.
And Carol, talk a little bit about the paperweight, making the paperweight. What was that like?
It was incredible. There's a glass expert here that does the glass blowing demonstrations, and he made a paperweight. He showed us, and then he let us each make one ourselves, and it was most intriguing time, and it gave you a new appreciation for glass and how it was made, and just the process that goes into making each piece is incredible.
So, Marshall, we're here for today. Is we're going into furniture. So we're going into the Mansion Museum. And what is so wonderful about this class is that we're working with the curator and the museum staff. We're going to actually go behind the velvet ropes, open the doors, and I've equipped everyone with white gloves and shoe covers so that we can go into the rooms and actually handle these period pieces so that everyone in the class will get a sense of here's what the actual federal furniture looks like or empire furniture, as opposed to all of the reproduction furniture that most of us see, right? Right, ladies?
Absolutely.
From the 20th century.
Yep.
Now,
you get such a different feel when you can actually feel and touch it and hold the difference between the real antiques and the reproductions, and it gives appraisers a real better sense of reality.
Well, also, I think it also gives confidence, mm-hmm. don't you? I think it so that you gain the confidence that when you go back out into the wild, as I like to say, is that we're in a nice controlled environment here, but when you go out into the wild, it's just a lot easier to understand. Marshall, what were you going to ask?
I was going to ask you to let each one of the ladies introduce themselves, a little bit of background, how they got interested in this, and
sure.
and how long they've been actually at this.
Great.
My name is Lynn Huck. I am from Houston, Texas. I do appraisals and have been doing appraisals for 10 years. I'm a generalist, which means that I can appraise most all of the contents in your home. And I also do estate sales where I liquidate the contents of your home when particular situations arise.
And what's the thing Lynn, what's the thing that got you interested in becoming an appraiser?
A midlife crisis. I needed to change from what I was doing, which was a computer work, and one thing led to another, and I was helping a friend do estate sales, and in doing estate sales, I realized I enjoyed it, and then once I realized how much I enjoyed it, I realized real quickly I needed to get educated, and becoming an appraiser allowed that education that could transfer over into doing estate sales so that I would sell and label and market things and identify them correctly.
See, if you were a man, your midlife crisis would have gotten you a sports car or a convertible.
Now I just bought a lot of wine and went for Plan B.
Okay,
yeah, that's why I love both these ladies. They're just great. They're great. Carol,
Carol Matesic, and I pretty much do the same thing that Lynn does, but I'm in Dallas, Texas. I've been appraising since 2001, and I'm also a generalist. My husband's the car collector in the family, so we have plenty of those around. But I also changed careers. I'm an RN by education, and I always loved antiques, and so I changed careers and this is really a great place to be.
Now, Tim, I guess it would be important for anybody that wants to go into a business like this, is you have to have a love of antiques or connection there somehow. Otherwise, I think it would be too convoluted for you to get interested in.
No, and actually both women are shaking their heads, because it's more of, you have to have an appreciation. I think the love of it is the love of learning and also the discovery of what it is this is. Because, I love a lot of the fine art that I have to appraise, or some of the furniture, but I don't want to have it in my house. You know, I appreciate it. And I learned that very early on when I started working at Christie's, is that I look at it, and ladies, do you also do this when you have an estate sale? It's like, it's mine for a while, and then it goes off.
I like to say things pass vicariously through my hands, and it's more of a love of the history of the things and the knowledge of where they come from. You don't have to really love antiques so much, just enjoy and appreciate the history of items and where they come from.
I think, and what we're talking about today is in the furniture and construction, is also understanding what was going on in the time period. Is, oh, okay, when
Marshall, there you are, you're back now.
Okay, last night we had a power outage, so I'm sure everything is resetting this morning, so in the mountains.
So no,
but what I was saying is, it's an appreciation of the history, is knowing when screws were made, so that you know when you're looking at a piece of furniture, wait, is that a flathead or a Phillips? And if it's a Phillips, it's much later than the flathead. So it's those kind of common sense things too that are a lot of fun.
Now, what are the first?
A lot of it is like, you're a history detective when you're looking at a piece of furniture. You're looking at the joints. You're looking at the hardware. What did the blacksmith make the nails that connected the drawers? So it's more of the love of uncovering information.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, what was that, Marshall?
What's the first step to learning the difference? This is where I get bamboozled into something that's a fine reproduction and something that's really old and antique. I mean, what's the first basic step you take then?
Then you sign up for my class.
Your second step. But I mean, what's the first clue that something's a reproduction?
Yeah, well, it's the detail. So I would say the detail work, and that is why this is important, to see what the actual old pieces look like and the detail work that goes into it, as opposed to later reproductions. Because if you can't see that and all you've seen were the reproductions, you don't have that context to judge, hey, this is older or this is younger. So that's what this class is really designed to. Yesterday with the glass pieces, we were showing, here's some nice reproductions, or here's some things from either the 20th century or 21st century, as opposed to the 18th and 19th century, and say, here's how you tell the difference. Feel the weightiness. Look at the layers of the glass. And it'll be the same thing with the furniture today. So it's really, you have to either, I would say the first step is find somebody that can walk you through what some of the older pieces look like, and really educate yourself, or go into museums. You might not be able to get up close and personal like we're going to, but from a distance, they should be able to blow up a lot of the detail work, so that you can see the fine carving and the hand carving that goes into it, as opposed to the machine work that goes into the other work. That's the simplest way to do it.
All right. Now, before we let you go this morning, how long do these classes go on? And how do people find out about coming to future classes?
Sure. Well, it's 50 days. No, it is. It's like being out in the desert, 40 days, 40 nights. No, it is two and a half, almost 3 days, is that we're, the third day is that people try to get out. So I try not to do the full day, but it's a good, we'll go until about 3 or 3 o'clock, something like that. And it's an intensive. I mean, yesterday we just kept going. We worked through lunch. We do have lunch and breakfast provided. But you can go to find out more about classes. It's isa-appraiser.org. And it has a whole list of all the different classes. And this is just one of many They do a fine arts course. They also do, you know, we do the USPAP classes. And it's also a place that if you are, like the ladies today, we're saying this is a second, third, fourth career that they're looking to just another challenge, start your business. We also, ISA also helps with that, and there's information there. They do have some online webinars and things. So it's an interesting journey as an appraiser, because I think one of the students in the class said yesterday, he's here because he's a student and continues to learn. And I think that all of us, I love doing this because it helps me also sharpen and hone my skills, but I learn so much from everyone else in the class too. It isn't me just going blah, blah, blah. That's why I bring the curator in, and I bring a number of different people. And I think that format works well for adults because it's also keeping their attention and it's hands-on.
All right. Sharing is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marshall. Right. You guys have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, Tim.
Okay, buddy. Bye.
Tim Luke, mine's Greg Schramm today. The appraisal guy is a frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.